sixth chapter of Matthew. We're going to read, parade and peruse the periphery of verse 30 through verse 34. We'll do our best to give it to you the best way that we know how, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. When you have Matthew chapter 6 and you're looking at verse number 30, amen, I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Verse number 30 of the gospel according to Matthew chapter number 6. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen, amen, hallelujah, glory be to God, amen. Want to use to say this morning a topic title tag, if you will, this message, and a subtitle, a lesson for life. Kind of a, you know, it's going to be an instructional message, so, you know, you can take your seatbelt off. It's not going to be much turbulence, amen. But the subtitle is Remembering What's First, amen, amen. So y'all won't be mad at me if I don't holler at you a little bit. Just, you know, if I don't do that, don't y'all be mad, okay? Amen. But the gospel according to Matthew brings us to this point. Just skipping the background stuff and just get right into it. Jesus is teaching here. And anytime Jesus is teaching, we ought to pay attention. Amen. Jesus begins teaching the Beatitudes, as we call them, you know, the blessed attitudes. And basically you're happy if, you know, he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, children of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He goes on and talks about, you know, blessed. He said, blessed, and look at this, blessed when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you. For they did that to the prophets before you, right? So we ought not be getting all uncomfortable and all been out of shape when people say all manner of evil against us. Amen. 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 So why we spend so much time hating back on our haters? Amen. When Jesus said it's all right, you should be happy. How can you be happy when you get mad when people say stuff? Get mad when they don't speak to you. Get mad when they don't do what you want them to do. Jesus said we ought to be happy. Amen. But Jesus is teaching. He's teaching here. And, you know, anybody got a written King James? I know most of us use our phone, but is it in red in your Bible? Yeah. If it's in red, that means Jesus is speaking. Do you believe that Jesus will tell you something that's wrong? So we know that what we're talking about today is right and good for our souls. Amen. And so Jesus talks about that. But then we find that you know, in this life, that there are a whole lot of things that we're going to encounter, and we can't forget the first things. We can't forget the lessons that life might teach us. But Jesus tried to warn us before we get to some of those things that we might face. When we think about life, life is similar to a dollar bill. You know, it doesn't matter how you spend it, but you only get one time to spend it. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You only this one time in this flesh. That's it. Amen. And then you have a glorified body afterwards, but this one time in this flesh. So be mindful how you spend it. Jesus is teaching. He instructs us. He instructs them of some very important issues for people who are going to be his disciples. He talks about, first off, giving. He talks about in this sixth chapter, if you read the entirety of the chapter, you'll find that he talks about giving. He said giving of alms. In other words, the stuff that you give for charity, the things that you do. He said, don't sound a trumpet when you do it. Don't try to tell everybody, oh, yeah, I did this for so-and-so. I did it. He said, that's your reward right there. When somebody say, oh, good job, you did well, that's all you get from that. So you can't get mad when you don't receive a harvest from what you say that you sowed. Amen. Amen. So be quiet about the things that you do. He talks about giving. And so, you know, sometimes we don't want to give. We want to hold back. You know, we got that fist balled up the same way nothing can't come out. Nothing can't come in either. Preach. Amen. So he talks about giving, and this is something that people in the church need to have clarified, because we talk about and brag about what we gave, and then when we get something, we start talking about and bragging about the reason why we got is because we gave this and we did that, and I prayed this way. Do you know that I don't care how you pray and how you give, if God don't want you to have it, you can't get it anyway? I'm just telling you that because I know for a fact for myself, there are some things that God blessed me with that I didn't ask for, but he gave it to me because he wanted to. Lord have mercy. All right, so he talks about giving. I know y'all gonna get quiet on that. He talks not only about giving, but he talks about praying. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, when we talk about praying, we want to be heard, and we want to make up our prayers as if our prayers are so impressive to God. But you can't impress God with your prayers. Not at all. I don't care how many words you use, how big they are, and let me tell you something else. I don't care how loud you holler. God ain't deaf. He can hear you. Matter of fact, he answered a woman's prayer by the name of Hannah, who only moved her lips. Y'all with me? And the people around her, especially the priest, said she got to be drunk. Didn't know what was going on, but she poured her heart out to God, and he heard her, and her prayer never came through her lips, but her prayer was when her lips was moved. She silently spoke. I wish I had somebody in the house today that said, I didn't pray out loud. I didn't go hollering and screaming, but I just asked the Lord to have mercy. Prayer. He talks to them about prayer. But not only does he talk to them about prayer, but he talks to them about fasting. Because now he's dealing with people that, because now you're close to Jesus, you're going to think you better than everybody else. So he got to get them straight, because you know how we do. We judge others because I don't do what they do. Come on and say amen. I'm better than that. I can't. No. But do you know that we, no matter where you are, we all the same in Christ? The Bible says he has no respect of persons. Man put levels and man put the heights on people and say, well, this one is higher than that one. And, you know, we got it bad. You know, it's a shame that even amongst preachers, we try to say, oh, this one is an apostle. He's better than the prophet. This one is a bishop. And he, you know, we got to get to a point to where we realize that we're all saved by the same blood. All right. I think I'm boring you, but I don't mind, because I know I'm on assignment. Amen. We got to understand what he said about fasting. He said, when you're fasting, you don't go and tell everybody about how you're fasting, what you're fasting from. And, you know, you don't try to appear as though you're fasting. He said, you ought to look like anybody else, and nobody ought to ever even know what you're dealing with, because you can't tell by the appearance. Back in that day, they would put on sackcloth and they would put frowns on their face and ashes on their head to make sure everybody know, don't mess with me today because I'm fasting. You know how we do. Oh, don't mess with me today. I ain't got time for that because I'm trying to get in the presence of the Lord. No, you ought to be able to be in the presence of the Lord anyway, because he is on the inside of you. Amen. Talks about fasting. I know I'm making some religious folks mad. I don't care. Not only that, but look at this. He goes on to talk about greed also. Talk about storing up. We're more concerned about what we can store up than helping people. Amen. Amen. You say amen, old man. I'm the man. Ooh, man. Say something. We're more concerned about what we got in our bank accounts, what we got in our pantries. We don't care about helping other people anymore. Oh, we get mad about helping folks. They come asking me for some money. Who they think I am? Do I look like I'm rich? You look like you can help. Because you're a Christian. And most of the time, Christians got something that they can go back and get. Because the Lord will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. We got to learn how not to be, so selfish. Do you know that's why the country is in the shape it's in today? It's because of greed. You know, they had an initiative that Paula White was trying to launch under Donald Trump. Paula White is a televangelist. And they were saying that the churches ought to help the people in the community because they got the money. That's what they said. And they had a big forum about it, and she actually believed this all because, she got all the money because people send it to her. And she left one church in debt and got another church that had a 20-something million dollar surplus, so she ought to have it to help in her community. But there are churches like the ones that we are in today that don't have that. That if we feed about 20 or 30 people now, we start to think about, how we're going to raise the next offering. You get what I'm saying? So when they talk about taking care of people in the community, they're talking about clothing them, feeding them on a daily basis. They talk about all of this stuff, paying their bills, doing things like that to make sure they got. And, I have no problem with that at all. But then you're the same people that say that the church gets too much money. Same people don't want the church to have money, but you want the church to take care of people. Now, if we were doing what we are supposed to do, then we would have no need for the welfare system because everybody would be a part of a church, and then we could take the benevolent offering and give it just like they did at the Church of Jerusalem to the widows and the orphans and the people who truly don't have nothing, and then we would get lazy people back to work, preach. Then we would get, y'all, you hear what I'm saying? If people were in church like they should, they would understand a man that don't work can't what? Eat, and they would understand that, and they would understand giving, and then we would all have what we needed. But since we are not in the perfect world and we are not perfecting church as we should, we have to do what we're doing. But he talks about greed, and there's no room for a church or a Christian to have greed, because as long as you got greed, you won't be focused on what you need to be focused on. The next verses, he goes down, he talks about how your eye ought to be single. So you can't keep focusing on two or three things at a time. Then he says that you only can serve one master. He talks about all of this so that we can finally get our priorities together and our life straight so that we can know what to do because we serve too many masters. He said you'll either love one and hate the other. You're not going to serve the one. You're not going to serve all of them the same. You're going to have one of them that going to serve better than the other. Yeah. And most of us, we serve ourselves better than we serve God. Yeah. Preach. We serve ourselves better than we serve others. Because now we become our own masters. Because we think we can save ourselves. Lord have mercy, y'all. I ain't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to get there. So he talks about the things that we should focus on because we focus many times on the wrong thing. The wrong thing. We focus on so many. There ought to be somebody in your life that you are seeking to lead to Christ. Somebody in your life that you're looking to encourage, to build them up. Somebody in your life that you're looking to help out of a rut that you can give them a head start, a boost off, so that you can help make their life better. Somebody that you may network with that you can help out. Don't always look to take. But look to give. Look to be a blessing. Look to see where you can help somebody's life. Amen. But look at this. He says, so he goes on to talk about, you know, darkness and light. And he talks about serving two masters. And notice what he said. You can't serve God and mammon. Anybody know what mammon is? That's money. That's the god of money. You can't serve God and money at the same time. When you fighting with people over money, that means you fighting for your master. I'm just telling you. The other day, the lady got me at the bank for 20. She got me. I started to go back around. I said, no, Lord, she can have you. Give it back to me later. I'm all right. I'm all right. And guess what? He gave it back to me. Don't worry about it. We get so bent out of shape over the smallest thing. The woman short you 16 cents at the cash register. You ready to go off. But where is your witness? What happens to your witness when you go off over 16 cents? Huh? I often say this, and y'all know I said, what's money to God? What is money to God? That's not much to him. So if I'm not living on the economy of the world, nor am I living out of my bank account, but I'm living off the graces of God, oh, then I shouldn't be worried so much and crying and acting a fool and fighting about stuff that I know ain't. He said that the moth gonna eat it up anyway if you leave here. You can't take it with you. Tell somebody, you can't take it with you. I'm gonna get off money because y'all way too quiet here. Tell somebody, Pastor Lee, tell Pastor Lee money alone. Stop messing with your little idol God, and you're really getting mad with me. Messing with your idol God, you get quiet on me. That's all right. I'm not intimidated by quietness. Do your God still speak in quietness? Verse 30, I'm going to get into the word here. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Notice what he says here. He says, first off, you need to recognize God's divine providence. God's providence. In other words, he's saying that there are some places that just it's God's responsibility. It's his work, his place to do certain things. Amen. And just as God knows the sparrow, and if one falls to the ground, he knows about them. God knows all your problems too. We have a grocery list of stuff that we try to tell God all about and don't know that God already knows about my troubles. Amen. That's why he says that all things work together for the good of them. Romans 8, come on. All things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Amen. And so we got to get to a place where we trust God enough to know that the thing is going to work for our good. Matter of fact, he said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome, because I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Amen. Y'all still with me now? So we gotta know that God's divine providence will keep us. He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him. But notice what he said, that he says, therefore, verse number 31, take no thought. Now, when he says, therefore, take no thought, I can go through all the Greek words with you to tell you, show you what it actually means, but I'll just tell you what it means. It means don't worry. He said, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these clothes. Don't worry about this money. Don't worry about what you have to eat. He said, take no thought. Don't worry. He said, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? We got to understand that we can't worry about these things because we can't fix them. We can't change them. We just have to wait on God. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you can complete or do without him. Why? Because it is in him we live, move, and have our being. It is him that gives us breath. It is him that gives us life. The reason why I exist is because of him. And so when I take my focus off of him, that's just like taking a fish out of water. I'm subject to die sooner or later because I'm not connected to the one that gives me life. Y'all with me now? He said in the same chapter, John 15, he said, I am the true vine. There's some other stuff you might connect to that's fake, but I'm the real McCoy. I'm the real deal. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the Father watches over the vine to make sure it produces what it's supposed to produce. He said that he prunes it. He pull off some stuff that shouldn't be there. Sometimes God removed things out of your life that shouldn't be there, and sometimes he removed people out of your life that shouldn't be there. But whatever God does is all right with me, because it's good for my spiritual growth. It's good for my, I wish I had somebody in here. It's good for my life, and I need it. There was a lady that was said that she was about to die, and they came to pray for her, and they said, you believe that you'll live? She said, whatever God want to do. They said, well, what if God say you want to die? She said, whatever God want to do. He said, what if God say, what do you want? You know, he's, you know, Christian, trying to get a right. She said, well, if God asks me what I want to do, I refer back to God and say, God, what you want? When we get to the place where we can trust God to say, God, I know whatever's best for me is in your hand and in your will and what your desires are. When we get to that place, we have truly come to a place of faith. We have truly come to a place where we trust God. God, I could tell you what I'd like to see, but I don't care about that. I want whatever you want from me. Trust in God. We say we trust God, but when we refer back to God and say, God, whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. See, look at what he says in verse 30. He says, he said, wherefore God clothed the grass of the field. God take care of the grass, and it still grows, and it still comes out in its season, and you don't want it to grow, but it keep growing. He says, which is the day tomorrow cast in the oven. He says, shall he not much more clothe you? And then look at what he said. Oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say they didn't have any faith, because at least they believed in him. But they didn't trust that he could do what they needed him to do. And that's the same way we are. We have little faith. We believe that he is, but we don't believe that he'll reward them that diligently seek him. Oh, the Bible says that in order for us to please God, we must first come to God and must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we seek him diligently, that's not just every now and then. That's not seeking him when our show ain't on TV. Scandal, Empire. Oh, y'all with me? Yeah, I ain't coming to church because I'm watching my shows. Preach. I'm just saying, you can't diligently seek God and there's some other stuff that you got before him. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, husband, wife, whatever you put before God, that proves that you're not diligently. I'm just telling you how the cow ate the cabbage today. That's not diligence. You say, oh, I seek God and I'm holy. You ain't. I know you ain't. You fooling your own self. I see God, and you go to church once a year. I can serve him at my house, watching televangelists on TV, and you get up, put your offering on the TV, then when you need it, you go back and say, church, I need it, and pull it back off TV. That ain't diligence. That's dumb. Amen. All right, I'm gonna get on out of here. Y'all, don't get mad with me. I ain't talking about nobody. Tell somebody, say, he ain't talking about nobody. He's just talking about what he's talking about. All right, don't be mad with me. All right? Tight, but it's right. I'm going to take my time, y'all. Might as well just hang in there with me. Look at what he says. He goes in verse 31. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, all of that stuff. But the thing about it is, we got not only understand his providence, that he's able to supply our need, that he's able to give us what we need. He's able to protect us. He's able to clothe us. He's able to feed us. That's why he tells us when we pray, he said, this how you ought to pray. He says that we ought to ask for our daily bread. That's why when they were in the wilderness, do you know that if they took more manna in the wilderness than they were supposed to, if they said, oh, I'm gonna take this for a late night snack, it would rot before they could eat it. They had to only take enough to eat at the moment. That was them relying on God for their daily bread. And many of us, we're trying to hold stuff and we're trying to save it for later, and God letting the canker worm eat it and the moth eat it. He's letting it rot because we're not using it the way he wants us to use it. Hallelujah. All right, now look, he says here. Now, I got to say this too, because sometimes we try to say, oh, well, ain't no canker worm and no moth eating. Let me tell you who the canker worm is. That's the bill collectors that, you know, your late fees that you got to pay. Let me tell you something else. And I'm going to get out of the way with this money, because I don't know why y'all messing with somebody getting mad with me over money. Y'all quit messing with me about this. But if you don't tithe, do you know God still gets his tithe? Because the plumber tithe. That's why he let your pipes get messed up. The mechanic tithe. Y'all want me to go a little further? They tithe. That's why he let your car get jacked up. He gets it. You can't hold nothing back from God. He said that it'll be like putting money in pockets and you got holes in it. He said it'll be like blow. He'll blow on it and just scatter. So don't get mad with me about this money thing. This is God talking now. I didn't say anything that ain't back up with scripture. I know this is a different Sunday. I know I ain't preaching like I normally do, but it's okay. All right. So I'm trying to get finished so y'all won't be too mad with me. Skip over a few things. But look, he says, we got to understand first also the priorities. Look at this. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't you know that God knows what you need? God is not ignorant. God is all-knowing. Amen. He is nothing hidden from him under the sun, nothing over the sun. There's nothing that God does not know. Do you know that God knows the end at the beginning? He knows the very end at the beginning. And even if you read the scripture, he said that you can't, he said you don't know. You know, he knows the very hairs on your head. He knows how many you got. I ain't got that many, but he knows exactly how many I got. But you know what else he says? That you can't change your stature. I know we talk about, you know what, you can't make yourself no taller. But no, what if you read that in the Greek text, it means also that you can't expand your life. God knows exactly the day you're going to die. Preaching here. So you can't talk to God about trying to expand and get more days, because he already know what day you're going to go out of here. He know what day he's going to come meet you. Amen? All right, let me go on a little further. He says, God knows what you need. Verse number 33 says this, and I'm almost done. I've just been talking to you. I know it's kind of boring, but hold on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he said. We got to put some priorities and some things in priority. Amen? We got to actively seek God. The word seek is to actively go after or to actively pursue God. And we must actively, and you know what it means to be active? That's like somebody being part of a group. That means somebody being part of something. And they say, you know, I'm active because I keep up my dues. I keep up and I'm at the meetings. That's active. But when you're not active, that means that you're not present and you ain't always doing what you're supposed to that is required for you to be a part of that group. Come on and say amen. Are you an active member of the church? Yes or no? If I've been there, I'm active. If I ain't, I'm not active. Come on and say amen. And so what we got to understand is that when we are seeking God, we're actively seeking him. We are actively pursuing him. In other words, I'm in his presence on a regular. Preach. I'm always praying to him. I'm always talking to him. I'm always praising him. I'm always lifting him up. I'm always, always doing something to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. And so therefore, I am actively pursuing him. Y'all can say amen now. I ain't talking about money. So we got to seek him. Seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first. So put the first thing in order. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is the king's domain. It's where he rules, where he reigns. And so in order first to be able to seek the kingdom, you got to know the king. And if you don't, you got to become a subject to the king. And so we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due season. We got to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says this: submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why in the world do we play into the...
We know your heart.